is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Voskin. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 247. The Next Step, well, it's about life and love. It's about spirituality. It's about taking the most ancient Christian faith, Armenian Orthodoxy, and applying it to life today. Applied Christianity, if you want. Actually, we call it Armadoxy, and we're inviting you to take a next step with us right now. Kick back, relax. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Welcome to such an auspicious, historic, memorable day. At least that's how the press is describing it. Yes, it is February 28th today, shortest month of the year, but it happens to be 2013. And on this day, Pope Benedict the 16th has resigned. Probably right about now, as I am recording this, it is 8 o'clock in Italy, and from what we understand, the Swiss guards at that moment will turn away. They will be done with protecting the Pope. That is their charge, their duty, and they walk away at that point at 8 o'clock, and the Pope becomes emeritus, or Pope Emeritus. From what I understand, Pope Emeritus II, because it's the second time in history that a pope has resigned, at least in the last 600 years. That's the number that keeps popping up. Now, I'm saying all this because the media is having such a field day with this. And I'm going to share with you some of that experience, because it's interesting standing on the sidelines as an Armenian Orthodox priest and understanding that, you know, the Pope is one of a few, a handful of people who are successors to the throne of the apostles. And I want to share that with you. Coming up in, we're going to do that in the second portion of today's show. I'm going to be talking a little bit about the Roman Catholic Church, its relationship with the Orthodox communion, with the rest of the world. Because, you know, on days like today, you got the media paying attention to Christianity, and I think it's very, very important. It's beautiful. Unfortunately, what they pay attention to are all the trappings, which we talk about a lot. Like this morning, I was listening to one of the cardinals. He was giving like a little commentary, and you know, there is this tradition that after the Pope resigns, or after, more commonly, after he passes away, the official papal ring, which has his insignia, has the seal of the fisherman on there, going back to St. Peter, that ring is destroyed. And we've been hearing on the news, on talk shows, even yesterday, you should have seen how they were talking about it. You know, like, get this, The View, Whoopi Goldberg, and I think Barbara Walters was on there. There's a few of them. They're talking about the resignation of the Pope and what it means. And they destroy the ring. And this morning, one of the cardinals was mentioning, you know, the media has made a lot out of this destruction of the ring. He says, don't think of it as somebody standing there with a sledgehammer and just smashing this ring until it's all bits and pieces. He says, we basically make a mark in it so that it can no longer be used. You know, it's just a small scratching or an etching, I believe, the way he described it. And this is typical of the circus that goes on whenever something in the Christian church happens, especially on this level, especially when a pope leaves. You've got everybody chiming in with their little 2-cent analysis. You know, this is like, I'm going to tell you what it is. It was very It's funny for me. I gotta say, it's very, very funny for me. This morning, I was watching such a, like I said, an auspicious historical moment in history. You're watching the Pope say goodbye to the people. You're seeing the multitude, the crowds yelling thank you, grazie. We're thankful that you were the Pope. And then you get the commentary. You get the person who is showing this, sharing this with us, and the person's now gonna chime in, because actually we're stupid, you know, we're stupid, we can't figure this out, so now they're gonna give us some of the commentary, and they tell us, you know, this is the papal resignation, it hasn't happened for 600 years, and they give you these statistics, much like the football games you watch. You know, have you ever noticed, like, when somebody makes a field goal, you know, well, this is the first field goal in, they'll give you some statistic, in a college game that has been played postseason, blah, 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 and all that. So now they're giving you these statistics about what the Pope is and everything. And of course, it's amusing to us because you realize that it's so much more. I want to share with you the Pope, first Pope ever to tweet, obviously, because Twitter wasn't around back in the olden days, right? What, 6-7 years ago? Yeah, at least it wasn't popular or nobody was using it. But anyway, the Pope has been tweeting the last few days, and I guess the papal account was called Pontifex. That was it, yeah. So he tweets this morning as he is leaving. It says, "Thank you for your love and support. May you always experience the joy that comes from putting Christ at the center of your life." I thought that was beautiful. You know, they're not telling you all this stuff. They're going to talk about, well, now he resigns from the red shoes. Oh, yes, the papal red shoes. In fact, I heard a commentator, this is true to life, the other day I heard a commentator throw out this comment, and he says the Pope will be residing in, he used the expression, in the episcopal suites or something like that. And he goes, "I wonder why they call it episcopal. Why not Lutheran or congregational?" And you go, whoa. This is a bright one, right? This is a bright one. He's thinking the Episcopal, I guess the church, he's comparing it with the Episcopal. Of course, Episcopal means Episcopos. It means the bishop, the bishop's quarters. So it's interesting how people want to get involved in something greater than themselves, right? They want to get involved in some grandeur. They want to get involved in something beautiful. And what's interesting for me as a priest standing on the sidelines is we have all that grandeur. We have all that beauty. And sometimes we have neglected it because we just don't care. It's taken for granted. So opportunities like this to be able to see the Pope resign and hearing people chime in and telling you what's going on are opportunities for us to awaken to the faith that we all have, that we all possess, that we are all connected to. And this is a very special time, you know, especially that's happening right in the middle of Lent. It has an opportunity for all of us to reflect on our lives, on our purpose, and our connection to that faith. And certainly, if you've been following the Lenten journey, which I know you guys must be, we're getting a lot of hits and a lot of response. The Lenten journey, it's every day we have these small little snippets of what the path is. What do you do during Lent? What is it? Is it when we talk about meditation? Well, here's some guidance. Here's some Lenten meditations for you. So we're doing the Lenten journey. And last night we had our Lenten service. It's a once a week vigil that we have during Lent. And Archbishop Vaclav Hovsepian, senior most clergyman in the Armenian Church, he was with us. He presided over the service and offered the homily. And I found this very interesting. He quoted one of the hymns of the Armenian Church, Janabar. It is written by Nerses Shnorali, the great saint and theologian of the Armenian Church. And it starts off, Janabar Nyev Jishmardutyun Yev Gyank Christos. And it's beautiful words. Think about this for a moment. It is the way, the truth, and the life, Christ. So Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and we answer back by saying, "The way, the truth, and the life, Christ." Now, I want you to just think about that for a moment, okay? We're going to come back to that in our second portion as I try to tie this all together with the whole Catholic experience of what's going on with the new Pope, with the resignation of the Pope. Let's see, what else do we have today? We have Anush coming up in a few minutes with her pomegranate seeds. I've got a great new song for you for the song of the day. And just wanted to start off by thanking so many of you for chiming in, for sharing your comments about the Lenten series, about our podcast that we're doing here on Epostle. And in that vein, let's see, last week we talked about identity. And no sooner had we gotten off of the air, so to speak, now, you know, gotten away from the studio, let's call it, okay? The next morning on NPR, there was a Nets National Public Radio here in the United States. There was an article that appeared, and it said, Greeks ask themselves, who is Greek? And of course, this topic, they were talking about the economy in Greece and about who really gets to plug into that economy. But I thought that the title was so apropos for our commentary. You know, we were talking about what is the Christian, what is the Armenian Orthodox, what is that experience? And it was just a nice little coincidence that came up. So I've been reading this, I've been sharing these ideas over the past week. And, we're going to put it all together today, okay? So today I'm going to start off with a song of the day, as we do every week. This is from There's a confusion. See, this is what happens when Susie's not around. Yes, Susie is on an electronic hiatus. What does that mean? Electronic retreat. She's not touching computers for a week. Now, that is really giving up for Lent, isn't it? Yes, so today's show, she's not even producing, well, she's producing this show in absentia. Can we say that? Well, if it gets out on time, we'll applaud her. And if it doesn't get out on time, if you get this on Saturday for some reason, you could say, And we feel that Susie was missing today. But this is a beautiful idea. And I think that she's on to something, you know. During Lent, how about if we just shut down? We shut down everything and really bring it down to the bare minimum. Well, that's easy if you're a user. How about if you're the supplier? It's difficult. And so I think this week I was really understanding what we're doing through Epostle, especially with the volumes of stuff that we're really putting up on the internet. It is really remarkable. It is beautiful. And I'm looking forward to an opportunity to really expand, but wisely, not just throw out stuff, but really have some organization to what Armenian Orthodoxy is all about. Now, those are some of my internal little notes, let's say, but you'll be hearing more about this in the next few weeks. For right now, I want to share with you a song that comes off of the new album by Armenian Public Radio. I heard about this band, and actually, I really wanted to see them in concert. They were playing at the Getty Center here in the Los Angeles area, and I was unable to go, and tickets were sold out. Some young lady who was at the event came by church on Sunday, and she brought me a CD from the event. So I want to play you a song from them. I listened to it. To tell you the truth, honestly, I expected a little bit something more novel, more. I hate to use the word because it is creative in its own right, but a little bit more creative as something new. But basically, this album is called Retrograde, and it is a lot of the old songs. In fact, all old songs, but it is spiced up for today and beautiful singer. I love the harmonies, the beautiful voices. So I hope you enjoy it. This is Armenian Public Radio. Thank you. Was called Siroyerk from Armenian Public Radio. We will put a link on our show notes today so you could check out not only this song but all of their great music, and we wish them the best. My understanding, it's a new band, a new group coming together, and certainly this album, Retrograde, brings a lot of feelings from the past, kind of spiced up for today, as I said. Very nicely done. All right, let's change gears.
Life near ending. Children on the cold sea swell, not fishers of men.
Okay, we find ourselves in a most auspicious time, don't we? Definitely today is a historic, memorable day as the Pope resigns. And it leaves a lot of us, the Orthodox Christian, wondering, well, how do we fit in? How does this all fit in? You know that there's something special going on. If you watched any of the coverage, you watch the papal processions, you watch the beautiful ornamentation in the churches, and you can relate in some ways, right, as an Orthodox Christian. And as Protestants, you have a very difficult time relating, right? Protestants have a hard time looking at and saying, why? You know, isn't he the successor to Peter? And Peter was a fisherman, right? And he was serving a man who really walked around barefoot. He had a robe on, really didn't carry much money, had somebody tend to it. And here we see all this ornament. And it's easy to become cynical, in fact, in this, but rather than cynical, to really question what this is all about. So I wanted to make some little introductions to the relationship between the Roman Catholic Church to Armenian Orthodoxy, what it means for us to see a pontiff resign, and how you should accept it, and who are these players? Or do you just close your eyes to it? Now, let me say that one of the most troubling and yet understandable responses that I have gotten to the question of what is the Armenian Church has to do with the Catholic Church. And I'll be honest with you, I've heard this over and over and over again. People ask an Armenian person, like, what is the Armenian Church? Like, what do you believe? And the simplest answer that people give, and I understand it. It's troubling, but I understand it. It's like, well, we're like the Catholic Church, except we don't have a pope. Well, we have something called the Catholicos, but it's not a pope. And I guess that's true. When you put it down, you know, the statement that has been attributed to so many people, including St. Narcissus Shnorhali, including St. Francis of Assisi, including some of the early saints as church fathers, is that unity in essentials, diversity in secondary matters, and charity in all things, love in all things, is certainly true. I mean, basically, we are the same faith. We are the same church. It is the universal Catholic Church that we belong to. We belong to that Holy Communion that was established by Jesus Christ. And certainly, when you read it in the context of the Nicene Creed, and you say, this is what we believe, well, definitely, the Roman Catholic Church believes in it, as does the Orthodox Communion, as do many Protestants, except for when it comes down to, we believe in one holy universal church. Now, you have some contention that, what does that mean? What does that actually mean? We believe in the universal, holy and apostolic church. Well, there's a few different words in that statement, and each of them points to something different, but they can be interpreted. Now, for instance, the idea of church has to be apostolic. The word apostolic is important for us, for the Catholics, for the Roman Catholics. The Protestants will argue with that point, and they'll say, well, apostolic has many meanings, and we are apostolic in that we do what the apostles told us to do, and so on and so on. For us, it is that succession, apostolic succession, along with continuing the traditions that were established in the apostolic church. For instance, at time zero, there was no Bible, there were no canon laws, but there was definitely a church. Following the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there was a church. He establishes the church. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down. Okay, now, what is that church? Well, it is made up of the apostles. It is made up of the disciples. The discipleship that had learned from Jesus was now being sent out to all corners of the world by the command, the Great Commission given on Ascension Day, and now the Holy Spirit had come down upon the apostles who had gathered together, and they go out. Apostolic succession begins right there. Jesus had commissioned the apostles, the original 11. Remember, Judas was out of the scene at this time. This is in Matthew chapter 28. Okay, he says, go therefore to all the world. And they become apostles. The word apostle means those who are sent, apostolos in Greek. In Armenian, it's actually the same word. It's arakial. It comes from the verb arakel, which means to send. So Jesus is now sending the disciples to all the world, and they become apostles. So the apostles of Jesus Christ are the ones commissioned, and they're going out, and they're the ones who get to different lands, and they in turn ordain or continue the apostolic succession by naming, by ordaining their successors. And so Peter goes to Rome. And today, Benedict the 16th is a successor to Peter. Just as today, Karakin the 2nd, who is in Etchmiadzin, can trace his lineage all the way to the time of the apostle Thaddeus, who came to Armenia in the year 45, I believe, 43, 45, sometime around then, first century. Thaddeus, a contemporary, a friend of Peter. And so we call ourselves, the Armenian Church is called the Apostolic Church. The Catholic Church calls itself apostolic because they go to the time of St. Peter. And for us, within the Orthodox tradition, this is a very important mark that the Church must bear. It has to be apostolic. It has to be able to trace itself all the way back to the time of Jesus Christ. And certainly the Roman Catholic Church, certainly the Armenian Orthodox Church, the Antiochians, the Greeks, we're all able to, you know, trace ourselves. There's lists. You can follow them along. Let me make a note right now. I'll put the list up on today's show notes so you can see the succession of Catholicoi and original bishops of the church, the chief bishops. If I remember right, I think there's 142 till today, Karakin the Second. This is important. Now, what does that mean, apostolic, and why the supremacy issue? And this is where we differ. Okay, remember, again, important things, we are in sync. Secondary items, these are things where we differ. Well, this is can or cannot be. This is why I said contention. This is can or cannot be something that is secondary. But let me go through it with you, okay? And it comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. And it's a really nice little story that is important and can be used in many, many different ways. But here's how it works. It starts off with a questioning. And usually it's people or the disciples asking Jesus. This time Jesus is turning to the disciples. Specifically, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 I'm reading from. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? He wanted to hear it from them, okay? He wanted to hear from them who people thought that the Son of Man was. Now, the Son of Man, that title is something that Jesus refers to himself as, the Son of Man. It ties in with the idea of servitude, that he's come here as a servant. He's come here to serve. And they replied, it says, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In other words, they're answering and they're saying, okay, in our tradition, there's people who say that you are this or this. Now Jesus again turns it around and he says, but who do you say that I am? What about you? This is a very important turning point. I think a lot of times we do this. Earlier I said that when people look at the Armenian church, what are you? Well, we're like Catholic, but we don't have a pope, right? It doesn't matter what you're like. What are you? Who are you? In the same way, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, okay, other people believe I'm this or that or this other person, this prophet or this angel, whatever you may want to believe. But who do you say that I am? The emphasis is on you. What is your proclamation of faith? And it's at that point that Simon Peter answers, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen really carefully, and I'm going to read it just so we have something, just so we have a frame of reference, okay? Listen to this. It says, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Okay, now, let's take a look at this. Jesus talks about the church for the first time. He says, on this rock I will build my church. And he's playing off of the word Petra, which is from the Greek. It means rock, literally rock. He says, on this rock I will build my church. And so he gives this name to Simon. He calls him now Petra, Peter. You are Peter. And on this rock I build my church. Now here's where we differ. This is the point of contention, okay? The Roman Catholic Church will tell you that it was on Peter. They say that this is the proclamation made by Peter, and Jesus establishes his church on this rock, Peter, and he gives Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And this is why in all iconography you see, whether it's Western or Eastern, you see that Peter is holding the keys to the kingdom. And he gives them this authority to bind and to loose here on earth as well as in heaven. Hence you have these stereotypes of who do you meet at the pearly gates but Saint Peter. He's in charge. Now, this is where the Roman Catholics say that this is Peter and this is where the church was built. And what do the Armenians, what do the other Orthodox say? They say, yes, absolutely, Peter was given the keys to the kingdom at that point. But the rock is something a little bit different. The rock is not Peter the person. The rock is his proclamation. And if you really think about it, on what does Jesus build his church? On person or on the proclamation? What is the proclamation? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." This is the revelation, he's saying. This is what's important. You have claimed that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he goes on to say, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, on this proclamation, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it, will not overcome it." And that's really the point. That's it. It's based on that. It's based on that proclamation. And with all respect, these patriarchs, these churches, are not really in communion. And yet they are bound by a creed of Nicaea, which says that, yes, they are one universal Catholic Church. And this is really what it comes down to. Theologically, let's say. Now, politically, it's a different story. There's property involved. There's real estate issues. There's ethnic issues, right? There are many people within the ethnic churches, whether it's Greek, Armenian, Russian, Bulgarian, who feel that once they align themselves in one universal church, physically, there would be a loss to the cultural identity. And that's what we were talking about last week. That Jesus did not come and die on a cross for some culture, for a book to be printed. So I talked about that quite a bit last week. I don't want to duplicate it, but that's really the point right there. What did Jesus come for? He came for the salvation of souls. And he gives that to you based on this proclamation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, yes, he was the one who said it. And yes, Peter was among the disciples, one of the leadership. So was James, but Peter was one of the leaders. Later on, Paul, we see John in there. We see different disciples. But we believe that the disciples were all commissioned to go out together. And that was part of the Great Commission. All of the disciples, save Judas, who had already decided where he was going to be going, right? He had decided that he would betray the Lord and was out of the inner circle. So you have the 11 disciples, and later they added one more, right? They drew lots, and they added one more disciple. So you had the original 12, which was symbolic. It was important. It was important to tie it in with the tribes and so on. That's a completely other story. But whatever the number you want to accept right now, 11, 12, doesn't matter. What does matter is that each of these disciples turned apostles were now commissioned to go out to different lands. And in those lands, they ordained their successors. And they laid their hands upon them, the laying on of hands. In Armenian, the word literally means that, tsernatrutyun. It means to put the hand upon. And that was how that authority was transferred. Until today, my ordaining bishop placed his hand on my head and gave me that continuity to be part of that long lineage. He was ordained by others who placed their hands on him, and so on and so on. You could go all the way back to the time of the disciples, which means you're at the time of Jesus Christ. So this is an important marking. Now, within that structure of the Roman Catholic Church, of the Armenian Orthodox Church, you have your own systems of governance. You have bylaws, you have canon law, and so on. There's structure within each of the churches. Now, we've talked about this too in the past. You know, it's important to have that structure. But at the end of the day, they're all concerned about the same thing, about bringing the message of Jesus Christ home. And once you've lost sight of that, you're in trouble, right? This is why the Pope gets up and his last Twitter comment was, "Thank you for your love and support. May you always experience the joy that comes from putting Christ at the center of your lives." That's beautiful. Now, I'm not sure. I heard that this last tweet was done in Latin, which is interesting. A dead language on the latest technology, on the one of the latest means to communicate, right, on a Twitter account. That's kind of ironic. It's beautiful. It's poetic. A lot of dimensions to it. But it says really what it's all about. I hope you find the joy in a life of Christ, because I have. That's beautiful to me. That's it. That's the bottom line. And by the way, while we're doing the show right now, I'm checking out his Twitter page and Pontifex, and it has already been cleared out. And up at the top of the page, it says "Sede Vacante," empty seat. Wow, now that is current, huh? His Twitter page has already been cleared out. There's no tweets from the Pope, because there is no Pope. The seat is empty. That goes beyond romantic. That is beautiful. You got to applaud people for doing it that way. That is beautiful. But it says a lot. It says a lot about that the church is a dynamic church. The church is not somewhere sitting still, looking at its history. Even a two-minute-old history, it's moving forward. It's going forward. And so, at this point, as we talk about the Pope, I want to just say that we join our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters in prayer as we pray that the leader of the Roman Church emerges, that the Spirit of God direct and guide the cardinals in their deliberation and election process. And I, for one, can only pray that that same Holy Spirit descend upon the entire Christian church to keep it dynamic, to keep it revolutionary, to keep it focused to the proclamation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We are at the point right now where Anush does her pomegranate seeds. Let's listen in.
A loving divorce. I was talking to a friend the other day. She is going through a failing marriage. We sat and talked over coffee, sharing our pasts and thoughts and emotions, and then what came out of my mouth kind of took me aback. Not that it was surprising, because it's what I knew in my heart to be true, but the way it just flowed out came so naturally. What I told her was this: open your heart to love. Do all things out of love always. When your heart is open to love, you will attract goodness. And don't be afraid to fail, because in failure there is growth. Learn from your mistakes, forgive, and move on. Going through a divorce is not easy. I know, because I have been there. There are a lot of emotions, hurt, anger, and pain. And so how is it possible to have a loving divorce? That's a weird question, right? First of all, I'll tell you, it's not easy, but it can be done. The key is prayer and forgiveness. Prayer has always been important to me. It took prayer to guide me to make my decisions. It took prayer to help me heal, and it took a lot of prayer to forgive. As I talked to my friend, the analogy of a wound came to mind. In the beginning, the wound is fresh and painful. If you keep it clean, nurture it, and take care of it, it will slowly heal. Eventually, it will heal over, and what will be left will be a small scar to help you remember the good parts and to learn from the past. If you treat the wound with bitterness, anger, and hatred, it will keep opening and festering, a constant reminder of the bad hand you were dealt and the pain that you're going through over and over again. Forgiving oneself is the hardest of all. Growing up in a family where divorce was not in the vocabulary made it especially difficult. So forgiving myself for a failing marriage was the hardest, especially when I thought about my children, the division of the family, and all of that bad stuff. I am fortunate in that my ex-husband understood that we would forever be in each other's lives because of the children that we have together. We tried hard to never speak badly about one another in front of the kids or otherwise. We never allowed our kids to feel that they had to choose sides. We worked hard to be there together for their birthdays and family events. It was a lot of work and quite often very awkward, but in all things we thought first of our children. And as they grew older, we had less parenting to do together, and so our differences became less and less prevalent. Eventually, time healed the wounds, and both of us moved on and remarried. Our children have now grown into adults. My son was telling me the other day that he has so many friends who have divorced parents that can't stand to be in the same room with one another. I am blessed that things worked out as they did, but it's not by random chance. Like I said, it takes a lot of work, an open heart, and an ability to forgive. And it takes faith and prayer. None of us are perfect. Once I came to terms with this key fact, it became easier to forgive and move on. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." In other words, forgive us the way that we forgive others. I try very hard in all things not to judge. I leave that up to God. When it's time, He will be the one to judge. My job is to spread His love and light to others. This is my daily prayer. This past October, we had the honor of sharing a very blessed moment together. My ex-husband and I walked our daughter down the aisle together as she approached the altar to marry her best friend and the love of her life. When we kissed her and gave her over to her handsome groom, we took our place in the pew as her loving parents, next to our respective spouses. Love is forever. Sometimes it changes shape and reinvents itself. Old wounds heal, and all that remains is a small scar to remember the good times, to learn from the difficult times, and to revel in the beauty of a life well loved. This is Anush, wishing you a pomegranate day filled with hope, an abundance of blessings, and ripe with possibilities.
difficult topic. Thank you, Anush. Done very nicely, too. It's important. You know, we don't promise you all kinds of flowery stuff here on the next step. Talk about some meaty things, things that touch us in different ways. That sometimes, you know, if you checked out yesterday's Lenten journey, it was about being lost and found. It's the idea is nobody starts out a journey intending to be lost. We get lost along the way. And so, too, I think everybody starts off their marriage. I've yet to meet anybody who says, I'm getting married with the intention of divorcing. No, it happens. It does come up. It does happen. It is a reality. And as Anush shared with us today, there's different ways. It's what you do with that reality. So thank you, Anush, for providing that pomegranate seed. Anush does a regular blog, and we'll have a link on our show notes. And this small little section that she does is the audio version of that. So you can get the text version right at her blog site. And here is Susie. I know she's on break, but she is just wonderful. Just in the same way that we bring in this pianist, we bring in Susie.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vodskin, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vodskin.
Yes, please do keep us in mind. It is through your support, through your prayers, well, just even the simple things of passing along this link to other people that we have a life here on the internet. And I want to tell you that every day it's just such a blessing to hear from so many of you, to share your experiences, to hear what's going on in your lives. And I want you to know this, that, you know, Sunday mornings when I celebrate the Divine Liturgy, I remember you. I remember the collective Epostle family, as well as each of you who write to me, who share with me, who provide their support to this ministry. I remember them in the Divine Liturgy at a very, very special point where we ask for God's blessings upon all those people who support the ministry, who support getting the word out. And today we've been talking about the church. We've been talking about how the church differs and comes together and really gets the message out. I shared with you earlier Archbishop Vacehov Sepien's comments last night. It was a reflection on one of the hymns of the Armenian Church, Christ is the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He says, Janabar Yevjishmardutyun Yevgyank Christos. So it's our proclamation back to Jesus. It's not enough that he says, I am the Way, the Truth, and the Life. It's now us proclaiming back to Christ. Sound familiar? Who do people say that I am? Well, you're this and that. No, who do you say that I am? And the Armenian Orthodox response is found in St. Nersesh Noradi's prayer. Beautifully said. The way, the truth, and the life is you, Christ. Now, imagine we have this beautiful tradition. We have these beautiful writings. We have this ancient tradition that comes to us today. And how could you trade this off with any kind of cultural experience? Okay, oh, we're going to keep the ethnic groups alive. We're going to think, no, there's something beautiful here. And there's something very real. And that's what apostle is trying to do. It's apostolic evangelism with an E on it for electronic. We're trying to do the apostles' work through the electronic media. And in so doing that, what we're doing is we're strengthening up the church. I got to tell you, the letters that I get are about the church, are about sometimes tragically about concerns about the church and leaving the church, others about how they're strengthening, building up the church. Now, I don't want to go on. I think you all know what we do at Apostle. You know how it all fits in. It's part of In His Shoes. In His Shoes, the backbone of it. Puts together Apostle, puts together Dative Outreach, puts together various programs. It's all about getting Christ out to the people. So if you want to be a part of this, a lot of ways that you can contribute. As Susie says, you can make a donation. You go to our website, press on the button, or you can do it in other ways. Pass the link around. Tell people about us. Get the word out. It's very important. And I think with that, we're going to call it a day. We're going to say that's enough for today's podcast. I want to thank you for joining us and invite you to get involved with us at epostle.net. You'll find the Lenten Journey. You'll find also at the Armadoxy blog. Actually, the easiest way, go to epostle.net. There's a nice banner up at the top. Hit on it and you'll see Lenten recipes. You'll find a daily meditation all available for you, as well as SunSash. There's so many ways to connect to us via Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Hey, listen, I told you Susie is in electronic hiatus, so I'm going to try to get this podcast out to you in the next few hours. If you don't get it on Thursday, well, I'll just say, for the wonderful team who brought us here together today, for Susie in absentia, for Vahe, our webman, for Anush with her pomegranate seeds, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.